The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann, and I'm delighted to be joined today again by Matt Timmins, Joint CEO of Fintel. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing very well, thanks, John. Good morning to you.
Yeah, morning. We're going to talk about M&A today because you've announced a couple of acquisitions recently, but it's been a very busy time on the acquisition front for Fintel generally this year. Perhaps talk us through what's happened in the last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very busy year for us, 2023, for acquisitions, and we're still going on that front. So there's still plenty of conversations that we're having with some great companies out there. So we expect more to come. But so far this year, we've completed 4 acquisitions plus a minority investment into some great organizations. The last 2 that were announced was the acquisition of AKG and also the acquisition of Vouchfor. So 2 great businesses that will add clients onto our fintech and services platform, that will add valuable IP, and that also add technology as well. So they really do sort of tick all the boxes that we're looking for in terms of an acquisition, just strengthening out that platform and making sure that we can continue to offer more services to the intermediary community and also to product manufacturers. So yes, very busy time for us at the moment.
So, acquisitions have been important to Fintel throughout its history. What is the rationale behind this sort of buy and build strategy? Why are acquisitions so important to the group?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're doing a combination of things of which acquisition is a part of and becoming an increasingly key part of. What we're trying to build here is a consolidated tech and services platform that is available for financial intermediaries and for product providers to pretty much do everything they need to do via one platform. If you look at the intermediary market in particular, most wealth managers and IFAs, and to a large extent mortgage brokers, will use over 6 pieces of individual technology systems, point systems, to do their job for clients on a regular basis. And most of those systems don't integrate well, don't talk to each other. So you're requiring the intermediary, whether a wealth manager or a mortgage broker, to do and learn lots of different pieces of technology and to have a disrupted workflow as it stands at the moment. What we're trying to ensure is that we are able to deliver one platform, and on that platform is joined up technology that allows them to do their job from start to finish for their clients with one single login, 2-way integrations where needed, and data flow that goes all the way through the platform. So we're providing a sort of seamless and frictionless journey for everything the intermediary needs. And we believe that's the best way to create efficiencies in an intermediary business, is to use technology to run the vast majority of processes for you. And there isn't a simple solution out there in the market at the moment. And building one from start to finish would take a very long time. And by the time you built it, you'd probably need to rebuild it. So we believe the best way is to have an open architecture platform and to build and buy the best pieces of technology in the market and to link them together into a seamless operation. So that's what we've been doing. We've been making sure that we can offer everything the intermediary needs to give advice to their clients. And then built into that is the regulatory IP and the services platform. So it's not only the kind of point at which you give advice to clients in which you need technology, it's also to run your business on a daily basis, your practice management. And so we encapsulate both of those into one single services and tech platform. And that's what we're trying to build out. And so in some instances, we will build that in-house. So for example, cash flow planning is a really important part of that journey. And we built that in-house in Defacto. And then in other cases, we will look to acquire. So CRM and back office is an important part of that. We've invested into Planner to help us with that. We also have a great partnership with IntelliFlow with a 2-way integration into Defacto. So some of these instances will require partnerships. Others will require a build scenario, and others will require a full-on acquisition. And so we've got the resources we need in the business at the moment to make acquisitions, and we're putting that to work for us.
I was going to ask you about, you know, why you've been so successful with acquisitions, with your M&A strategy, because it's not always the easiest thing to get right. And I guess, you know, you've just talked about resources, so that, you know, the financial firepower to do it, but presumably strategy, process, identifying those sort of synergies, both on the client and technology side, are also really important. Talk us through how you make M&A work.
Yeah, I think it's all really important. It's a big melting pot. I mean, first of all, you've got to have the financial resources to go out and make the deals work. And we've got an £80 million RCF facility, as well as a very cash generative business that allows us to go out and make acquisitions. We've also got a very supportive shareholder base. So if we want to make larger acquisitions, we're confident that that shareholder base would stand their corner and help us to fund those. So I think having the funding in place is paramount. You need to have that. You then need to have a very clear strategy, because, you know, having all it does is having the funding makes you have an increased exposure to lots of different opportunities. So you've got to have the right strategy in place, so you buy the right businesses. So we have got the right strategy in place. It's about consolidating those tech and services providers into a single platform. And then importantly for us, it's to go out and see the businesses and understand their processes, their culture, the management team, their experience. Pretty much every acquisition we've made has been through a relationship, first of all, with the owners and founders of those businesses. We don't get into many processes. In fact, I think we've only been in one process during our time. So we like to buy businesses off the market. And I think it's important to build that relationship first, so that we understand between both parties what we can achieve collectively together. We're not buying these businesses for, you know, a purely financial gain. It's not financial engineering. We're not trying to suddenly just make a, you know, slightly different turn on the profitability of the business. We're trying to grow the customer base. We're trying to deliver something really important to this sector. So understanding the culture of the business and their capabilities is paramount. And I think what we look at first of all is the strength of that management team, the culture of the business, and, you know, their sort of their overall mission and desire. What do they want to achieve? And winning in a market by providing the best experience to customers is what we look for. And to some extent, whether they are profitable or hugely profitable comes second, because we can work on that. We can work on the cost synergies. We can work on revenue synergies. We can work on building the brand. What you can't change readily is the sort of ambition of the core team and what they want to deliver. So as long as you've got a good tick in that box, I think that, you know, that's the main thing. And then we look at, you know, what's the strength of their customer base? How many people are they currently serving at the moment? What's the opportunity set in that customer base? How far are they penetrated in the market? And what is what they've got unique enough to be different in that market? And is there enough kind of road left to grow, really? So that's what we look at. And then, as I said, we've got the RCF facility to be able to go out and fund the acquisitions. And then you're then into the process. How much can the business do? So let's say we've done 4 acquisitions this year. What's the sort of bench strength of your team to be able to complete the deals? And once you've completed them, integrate those businesses into the Fintel family. So that's a kind of 2-minute overview, simplistic overview of something that's relatively complicated. But that's the way we look at it. This year, uniquely to the second part of your question, I think there are more opportunities that we've unearthed that would normally go the way of perhaps a private equity style deal. But because debt's so expensive at the moment, I think valuations have reduced a little bit, which has been helpful. And therefore, there are more sellers in the market with a more realistic and sensible view on the value of their business. And that's helped us. We've walked away from a lot in the past. We've walked away from 4 or 5 times more than we've completed because of unrealistic valuations on or expectations on value. So I think the combination of having the RCF, a clear strategy, and realistic sellers has kind of culminated in this being a really positive year for us.
I guess, you know, you mentioned there, you know, the sort of management culture being a very important thing that you're looking for in targets. And you know, one of the questions I was going to ask you is that as you pull all these pieces together, presumably the overarching ambition is that this will improve customer outcomes at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, look at the businesses that we've acquired, and all four of them this year have got really strong culture in their business, and you can see that track record. I mean, you look at AKG over 20 years worth of history in that business, you can see where the management culture has driven that organization. Vouch4 have got a really clear ambition in what they want to achieve, and you know, Octopus invested in them alongside the management team in the early days of that business, and so they've grown up with a really important structure because of that sort of that, you know, that established parent. They've got a good solid set of individuals running that business, and what they want to achieve is for the benefit of their customers, not the, you know, the financial benefit of the owners. So that's the kind of culture we're looking for. Organizations that want to win by doing a better job for their clients.
Absolutely. You mentioned, you know, you've done a lot of deals this year. There's more in the pipeline. And you know, having the financial firepower to buy them in the first place is great. Presumably, there's a big effort involved in the integration as well, particularly if you're pulling everything into this one technology platform. You talk
Yeah, there
through
is.
the overhead there and how you manage that.
Yeah, there is. I mean, we haven't bought a business yet, and I don't think we will, for the benefit of integrating it for purely cost savings. So when we talk about integration, what we're looking at here is the opportunity to grow revenue because two makes more than one, if you like. So yes, we integrate some of the back office functions. So we integrate HR, we integrate operations normally, and we integrate IT, which I think is important when you're building out a single platform. And then we look at the revenue opportunities or synergies of the businesses combined and with other businesses in the Fintel family. So each one has a slightly different integration plan. Some will be quite minor, where, you know, we kind of run the business as it was ran before because it already integrates well with the technology we've got. The management team have got a clear path forward, and all we need to do is add a bit more resource into the business. And there are other occasions where you've got to re-platform part of the tech, or we've got to change the personnel and structure within the business. That takes a bit more effort. So each one is slightly different. And so far, I think we've judged those absolutely right. So DeFacto was the largest acquisition we made. That was 74.3 million, I think, back in 2018, 2019. And after we made that acquisition, we integrated the finance functions. We integrated a lot of the operational aspects of the two businesses. But they still run with their own brands from the same site that they ran from before, with the same management or the same, predominantly the same staff, slightly different management team now. So that business had a relatively lightweight integration, even though it was a big acquisition. Whereas other businesses will have a, you know, more serious acquisition plan.
Yeah, very, very much case by case, very, very sensible. You know, it's boilerplate is where things often go wrong with.
I can't stand this kind of everything needs to be done in 90 days
Indeed.
and all this. I mean, it's just so textbook. You know, the reality of running different businesses, they all need different things at different times, and you've got to pace that at the right time.
So the jigsaw is coming together. A few pieces sound like they're you know, still to be found to go in, or you found, but the deals are still to be done. You know, I guess there's only so much you can tell us about what's coming next on the M&A front, but perhaps give us some clues as to where it might take the business.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we look at three things as being really important to what we want and what we need going forward. First of all, the quality of the underlying technology of that business. How scalable is it? How solid is the tech? How adaptable is it? Does it provide the right opportunity for two-way integrations? So we want to buy businesses that have great technology. We want to buy businesses that have got a solid and growing customer base. And we want to buy businesses that have got IP that can't be found elsewhere in the market. So we've got a kind of list of important ingredients that we look for. And there are a lot of businesses out there that fit, one or two of those things, and not many that fit all three. So we're kind of narrowing down that process as we go through. And then also you've got to look at the sort of financial commitments that the business can make in any one year. So yes, we've got an £80 million RCF facility, but no one wants to see this business, with a kind of, with more than, let's say, two turns of leverage as debt. So, we don't want to put the business in a position where we can't readily finance the debt in good markets and in bad markets. So we've got to be careful that anything that we buy has the right level of profitability with it to keep that leverage down. So we're comfortable in the current market at this moment in time, kind of spiking above one for a period of time. But then, as you look forward on a sort of 12-month basis, you want to make sure that the business is fully capable of bringing that, that leverage down to kind of under one turn. So you've got a combination of things that you look at here, the qualities of the business, but also how much pressure you can put Fintel under financially, and how much it's going to stretch the management team as well. So, already four acquisitions this year. We don't have the capacity at this moment to do a really big acquisition today, both financially and also in terms of the management team stretch. Now, fast forward February, March next year, and we should be in a position where we've completed the main integration work of the businesses we've bought, that they're starting to add EBITDA into Fintel, and therefore we can go out again and look for for businesses that are higher in terms of value, because we've got the space then to do the integration and the financial firepower to do it.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And so far, it's translating into to very good trading as you updated alongside the announcement of your recent acquisitions.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, we've reconfirmed that we're comfortable with the numbers in the market for this year, and that we are trading well. The mortgage market has been an issue for us. It represents around 20% of the turnover in the core business, but it has been an issue for us this year. There are headwinds in the mortgage business, and I think that will probably continue into next year as well. I can't see anything that's causing me to believe that the mortgage market will suddenly get better next year. But our business is very resilient. And, we have lots of other income lines. So say mortgage is less than 20%. So lots of other income lines that mean that we're still continuing to grow, even though there are headwinds in that part of the market. And the acquisitions that we've made will help contribute towards that. And as I say, we've got more in the pipeline. So we're really comfortable. It is a tough market in many senses at the moment, but we're using that to our advantage and using the resources that we've got to invest into the business at this point in time, so that we're baking in the kind of future growth.
Yeah, it makes sense. Taking on difficult market conditions on the front foot. Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you as always, and I'm sure you've got lots to be getting on with. So I'll leave you to do that. Thank you so much, Matt.
Great stuff. Thanks, John. Thanks a lot.
Speak soon.
Bye bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.